Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is Ambassador Marta Cecilia Penilla Perdomo, who is the Ambassador of the Republic of Colombia to South Africa and also the non-resident Ambassador of Colombia to Botswana and Namibia. Welcome to the show, Ambassador.
Thank you very much, Dr. Amalia. It is really an honor and a pleasure for me to be here with all of you.
Ambassador, you are Ambassador to the Republic of Colombia to both South Africa. You're also non-resident Ambassador of Colombia to Botswana as well as Namibia. Can you share with us some of the work that you do as an ambassador in the Southern Hemisphere in Africa?
Well, in the specific case between Colombia and South Africa, and of course in the case of, as well as in the case with Botswana and Namibia, usually in Southern Africa, Colombia is not well known. So here I have many challenges. First of all, to let to know all of you what is Colombia about. And it is a very tough process because we have been far away, especially by the Atlantic Sea. And because we still don't have direct connections between our countries. So for people to really get to know what Colombia is one of my main purposes here in South Africa and in the Southern Africa. In that regard, so I have to work a lot of projects on cultural issues. And we have done it very, very successfully. So thank you for inviting me, for people to know, first of all, that Colombia is located in South America, that Colombia has celebrated its 205th anniversary of its independence from Spain, and that Colombia is a growing economy with a diversity in all fields. We are the result of a very interesting mixture. First, the clever indigenous people. Second, the Spanish who came 500 years ago, and they brought us many beautiful things, like, for example, our language. Spanish is a very nice language. It's a very romantic language, by the way. And the Africans who came later on, and Colombia, we will say, is one of the happiest countries in the world. And part of it is because of the music, the drums that the African people brought to Colombia. So we are a vibrant mixture of people.
It sounds as though it's a very rich heritage and lots of cultural elements. So those are strong influences that I'm sure when you're in programs such as these, it's about articulating those elements and also on your side, the political relations and the economic relations from a business point of view to increase productivity and bilateral.
Yes, yes. So to know each other is very, very important to be able to fulfill other objectives. As you say, political consultations between our countries is very, very important. So I'm very happy that in March 9 this year, Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs of South Africa had a very important meeting with my Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs in Colombia. He went with a quite big delegation to Bogota, and we signed the Memorandum of Understanding for political consultations. So the first meeting after signing this understanding will be in Pretoria in May 2016. And our Vice Minister will come with businessmen to improve the trade between our two countries. So political issues and economic issues are very important in our relation.
And considering how our globe, as diverse as it is all interconnected.
Yes, yes. Globalization brings its challenges, but of course brings a lot of opportunities. And Colombia looks it more like opportunities to really to embrace the world. We are a very open country. We have very good relations with the majority of the countries in the world. And we are very happy that foreigners come to our country. So we are working very hard to enhance the bilateral tourism between South Africa and Colombia, because it also helps very much for the people to know each other, to really know how we are. And as I said, Colombian people is one of the happiest in the world. We love music. When you go to Colombia, you dance a lot. You have so much fun. And we Colombians love foreigners to come to visit our country.
I look forward to planning a trip.
I'm so glad to listen to that.
Ambassador, in terms of your position in South Africa, are there any specific milestones that you want to achieve?
Yes. When I was asked to come to South Africa by my Minister of Foreign Affairs, I started immediately to study what had happened between our two countries. And the first thing that really moved me was to help to have a South African embassy in Colombia. And I cannot tell you exactly when it is going to be open, but I can tell you that South African government and you people, you South Africans, are going to have an embassy in Bogota very soon. So for me, this is really a milestone. After singing this memorandum of understanding in political consultations, the opening of the embassy of South Africa in Bogota is really an historic issue.
And obviously that'll pave the way to improve relations between the countries by having your platform here with the Colombian embassy and the South African embassy as its counterpart.
Yes, definitely. Definitely it is very important to really strengthen the relation between two countries. It's very important to have embassies in the capital cities because also they are going to be able to report directly to the government how the country is doing. And I'm so glad that South African government is recognizing how well Colombia is doing.
And given your experience, you've served in diverse territories, so from North America, Pacific Asia, Latin America, the Andean region, and now you're in Southern Africa. How does South Africa compare to some of the other countries that you've had the opportunity to serve in?
Well, first of all, I have to say that each country is unique. One of the things that moved me to become a diplomat since I was young was that I really wanted to know the world. For me, it was very important. Colombia has beautiful mountains, high mountains, what they are called the Andean Mountains. So I usually look by the window and look to the mountains and say, come on, what is behind those mountains, no? And I think deep inside myself, no, that's moved me a lot to become later a diplomat. And I am always amazed by the diversity of every country. But at the end, when I have found is that all human beings, we are all the same. Doesn't matter the color of our skin, what language do we speak, which religion we are in, or our religion beliefs. But at the end, every person in the world wants the same. Every person in the world wants to be happy, wants to develop themselves. People wants to be able to bring their to bring up their children in the best possible way. So culture are something amazing and drives me in an incredible way. But at the end, we're all the same. We want exactly the same things. That's my conclusion after 25 years in the Foreign Service.
And you have been in the Foreign Service for a very long time, and you've received numerous medals of honor and awards. Can you take us through some of the landmarks in your career so far?
There are so many different and very interesting moments. But I will say that my first posting as consul in New York was very important for me. And I always remember it because I was like 26 years old and I was sent to New York. We had to help a lot the Colombians because it's not easy when people go to another country, they face so many challenges. I will always remember it with my heart. So for me, it was a great experience. It also showed me a lot of how migrants have to work very hard and how we have to support them in their dream.
I think what you're saying is, well, it's not just the, often we look very objectively at relations, so whether it is political relation, it's a business relation, but this is going in behind the scenes, really looking at the individuals that matter, and people matter.
Yes. No, that's true, because I really believe that the relation between countries are exactly the same as relations between people, no? And at the end, if you see a country move through people, so institutions, of course, are very important. But we cannot forget that institutions are handled by human beings. So that's something also I discovered through my career. And I think it has been very important in the achievements I have in my career. Because I understood in a very early stage that it was at the end regarding human beings. And every negotiation we do between a country and another, at the end is the people who is going to be benefited with this agreement or understanding.
Yes, people make the world go round.
Yes.
We'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
Today we're talking to Ambassador Marta Cecilia Penilla Perdomo, who is the Ambassador of the Republic of Colombia to South Africa and non-resident Ambassador of Colombia to Botswana and Namibia. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, Ambassador Penilla Perdomo was taking us through some of her experiences as she came into her first consular role in New York at the tender age of 26 and has had a career already of over 25 years, which has taken her across the world through North America, Pacific Asia, Latin America, Andean region, and now into Southern Africa. One of the comments, Ambassador, that you mentioned in our last segment was the relations between countries are exactly like the relations between people, and that in order for things to progress, we really have to take in the people factor into account. Can you take us through some of the moments when you realized that having a diplomatic career was a big part of your destiny?
Well, it started in an indirect way when I was a child. And as I said before, I look into the window and I look into the mountains. I was always asking myself, what is behind those mountains? Then when I grew up, I decided to become a journalist. And I studied social communication and journalism in Bogota. And I wanted to cover political affairs, internal political affairs, but also foreign affairs. So I decided when I was finishing my studies, I decided to specialize myself on political issues and foreign and international issues. And I came to do this specialization, and I found a wonderful work in the international field. So I decided to follow the diplomatic career, and then I joined the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to the Diplomatic Academy. And it was hard to say that I moved into this new area, but it was like a call, you know.
I think it's very different when one element from a journalistic point of view is reporting on the issues,
yes,
compared to actually being involved and making those,
yes,
issues.
I found international affairs to be so fascinating that I didn't want to cover them. I wanted to leave them. So that was like, are those moments in life in which you have to decide one way or the other, or the other way. And I decided that. And I'm very happy. I'm very happy I decided, because I really believe that any community, you know, any community has conflicts. You have conflicts in your family, you have conflicts in your neighborhood, but the only real way to resolve conflicts is through dialogue and negotiation. And I really believe in that. So because I believe in that, I love what I do.
And Ambassador, because we're a gender-based show, one of the things that we fundamentally look at is building female leadership capacity, and I consider that it's vitally important to the future of women, not just in Africa, but across the world. Now, as a woman who has constantly worked hard to succeed, how do you see female leadership?
Well, I believe from my heart that we need more women leading in the world. And it's for one specific reason. I think men are wonderful, but they are sometimes, or usually, I will say, too rational. Usually for men, 1 + 1 = 2. For us women, it could be 3, 4, or 5. And we work, I mean, of course we have to be very rational in our decisions, but you also have to be very sensitive. And we have something that we women develop easier than men, and it's our intuition. So many times I cannot explain why I decide to take one way, but something inside tells me this is the way you are going to solve this situation. We have this intuition and this sensitivity that allow us to go more inside the feelings of the others. I also believe because nature has given it to us because of our motherhood role. So we have to listen to children. No? A woman can have 5 children, and she needs to know in a very wisdom way how to resolve a conflict between the 2 children. And if you don't have enough money, how you are going to divide what you have with the 5 of them. So I think we have in our DNA something that tells us how to solve situations between brothers and sisters. And we are more open to find alternative solutions, to be creative. We are so creative. And I see sometimes when I am with my main colleagues, other ambassadors, and the way they see a problem sometimes is quite different the way I see them, no? And I'm happy we are different. I mean, I think the world is marvelous. Eh? The diversity makes this world wonderful. But then we need more that women perspective, for example, in parliaments.
Yes, and from a parliament point of view, that's the next thing that I wanted to ask you, that South America as a continent has got more female presidents than any other continent.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I really believe that the American continent as a whole was the continent of the hub. So all the people that came from Europe to America, they were dreaming of a new world. That's why America's continent is called the new world, because it was really what was belief. And we have become more liberals, we have become more tolerant, we have become more open, because I think we carry that legacy of the dream of building a really new world. That's why I believe. And I'm not saying we still have so many challenges, but in Colombia, I can assure you, women have become a very important part of the economic society, economic community, political community. In the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, I will say now we are more women than men. And still we have so many challenges, but Colombia, we have done a lot. In the banking system, there are a lot of women working. There are so many areas. Some areas still need more women, especially, I will say clearly, we need more women in our Congress. And why I emphasize this? Because in the parliaments, in the Congress, is where the laws are made.
Yes, and the legislation then dictates what happens and infiltrates into the country.
And we need more female perspective in the process of building a new or doing a new law.
And how do you think we can encourage more of that to have a stronger influx of women into the Congress?
Well, I think it has to be, first of all, with more education. I think the base of any change in any area is education. Colombia is a quite good educated country. As you may know, General Simón Bolívar, who was born in Caracas, Venezuela, and later on he passed away in Santa Marta, Colombia. He got independence for Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, and Panama, our independence from the Spanish crown. And he used to say in the 19th century that Colombia was like an university. No? And I think it has very important in our process. And now, for example, the president of Colombia has a very important slogan for his second administration, which is peace, education, and equity. So as you see, education continues to be a basic stone in our policies. So I insist, education is the most important thing.
But with education, I also consider that sometimes we need a re-education, and in terms of the way that culture and tradition often dictate how our life is moving forwards, and that sometimes those aspects of culture need to change in order to open those opportunities and allow people to think in different ways. What's your view on that?
Yeah, that is a very interesting issue, because of course, human being, we have to remember our past. Somebody who knows the past is able to build the future. But when you remember your past, you have also to be very critical of it. There are very good things in the past, and there are other things that are not good of your past. So those kind of values or customs, even you have to respect them, looking into your past. You have to really not reproduce them when they put another human being in a less condition. Something, any value or any cultural aspect that undermines women regarding men are clearly not good.
And they can't be used as excuses.
Exactly. So I really encourage all women in the world to evaluate if there is any cultural aspect that undermines yourself, you cannot accept.
Now, Basta, you've gone through some of your career history and the different elements and the environments that you've experienced from a cultural point of view and change. But in terms of your role, you, in effect, have become a role model to many women based on all of your achievements, providing evidence that with hard work and personal sacrifice, everything can be achieved. Can you share with us some of the gender challenges that you've experienced and how you've overcome them in your career?
I think that the most important challenge for me has been a very soft and kind woman. Because usually people see as a sign of weakness, no? Or people believe that a woman has to behave like a man to be respected as an equal or a competent official. So I was also very clear in this since I started my diploma career, that my personality will remain, that I couldn't lose myself into my professional life. And I consider myself being very feminine, soft, and kind. But I also am very clear in my goals and how I want to get them. And as my grandmother taught me since I was a child, I think it was the first diplomatic lesson I got in life. My grandmother always said to me, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. She always encouraged me to be very kind in my relations. And I believe that when you, as also my president said, you don't need to scream to be listened. No? But I really believe. And sometimes people consider myself to be so naive because of my beliefs and the way I behave and so on. And I can tell you, I'm not naive at all. And I really believe I have been able to accomplish the task that I have been instructed.
Yes, and delivered through competence, through your experience, through your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to follow in your footsteps, so for a young girl wanting to start out in her career, what advice would you give her, given what you know now?
First of all, you have to believe in your dreams, no? I mean, when you believe and in your values and in your beliefs, because at the end, you are always alone with yourself. So you have always to listen inside yourself. What do you really believe on? What do you want to do? And it will help you to stand. You have to see the goal. If you have clear your goals, it will make easier your path. because if you don't have clear your goal, the life is tough. Mm. There are so many challenges in personal life, in professional life. So you need to have clear what do you want to get in the future, in your personal life, in your professional life, to be able not to lose in the way.
So it's setting a strategy and not being distracted by all of the events that take place.
Yes, and I mean to be persistent. You don't get things from one day to the other. If you really want to move in your life, you have to study. That's something that nobody can take from you. You can lose your money. But what you learned, no one can take it.
So being self-disciplined,
yes,
having those values, and almost living, as you mentioned earlier, the president's words of peace, education, and equity as pillars of Colombian society.
Yes.
We'll take a short break.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
Today we're talking to Ambassador Marta Cecilia Pinilla Perdomo, who is the Ambassador of Republic of Colombia to South Africa, as well as a non-resident Ambassador of Colombia to Botswana and Namibia. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. And if you've just joined us in our previous segment, Ambassador was talking about building female leadership capacity from the South American perspective, the work that is happening within Colombia, and the need to try to encourage more women to come into the Congress, because ultimately, as we have more women having a female perspective, that gives weight in terms of how legislation and policy is developed to have a ripple effect into the rest of the country and the state of affairs on women. Ambassador, we're coming into the last end of our segment here. And one of the questions that I ask all my guests on this program who have made significant achievements in their own disciplines and respective fields is about the factors that they have felt have contributed to their success. So if you could please share with us what have been those driving factors.
Definitely my father and my mother. My father was a very hard working person, and his example was for me very, very important. His commitment to his job, his honesty, and also how he allowed us in at home, my sister and me, to sing by ourselves. And my mother, she was at home. She didn't work because she didn't like to work. I will believe that I was very lucky to have a father that allowed my mother to work. But she decided not to work. And that's okay, of course, as well. I mean, it's not that all women have to work, all men have to work. No, it has to be a free decision.
And so I think in a relationship, it is about partnership and choices on how you are running your family and your household. And
exactly
what you're saying, it's given the choice.
Exactly. I mean, in those times in Colombia, it was not usual that a woman would work. My father said, if you want to work, you can work. My mother said, no, I don't want to. And he said, okay, then you don't work. I mean, that will show you how I was educated.
Very progressive at that time.
Yes, very progressive at that time. And my mother was a very romantic woman. She loved poetry. And I will say she was the first one to introduce me to books. She didn't read my sister and I Cinderella or those beautiful books for children, which I respect a lot. But she read us poetry, and she loved music, and she loved dancing, so she taught us to dance and the diverse kind of music, and so on. So that sensitiveness of my mother was very important on who I am.
So we have parents, we have your dad's values, commitments to hard work, and your mum's influence from a cultural nurturing point of view into exposing you to other elements within life.
Yes.
Now, Ambassador, in closing the discussion, could you please use this platform to send a message of hope to all the women in Africa who, due to circumstances, gender equality might not be their first priority, but rather the daily struggle of taking care of their family, making sure that there's enough food on their table, and looking after their children is a more pressurizing reality?
Yes, I know it is not easy, but we women have the main responsibility, because precisely for that, because usually are women who we raise and educate our children in our hands, is to change those values or attitudes or behaviors towards children. So we have the responsibility when we raise a girl and when we raise a boy. We can raise a different man for the future. It is really in our hands. So we cannot feel ourselves as victims. Not to feel as victims is not a good and healthy feeling, no? As I said before, sometimes things bring us difficulties, but we can see the opportunity. And having that role in the moment is the opportunity to change the life of our future men and women and the relation in the future and the role in our societies. So women have a key role in this changing process from their home.
I think you've highlighted an incredible responsibility there that is possibly underestimated by some people in terms of creating those next generations, our future, and it all comes through nurturing by mothers in terms of how they're grooming their children. So thank you for sharing those wise words.
My pleasure.
It's been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It has been really a pleasure to be able to share my feelings, my beliefs to all women that usually are with you in this beautiful program.
Thanks, Ambassador. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity, and today we have been talking to Ambassador Marta Cecilia Penilier-Perdomo, who is the Ambassador of the Republic of Colombia to South Africa, as well as non-resident Ambassador of Colombia to Botswana and Namibia. We end today's show highlighting one of the developments underway at the African Development Bank, namely the Agricultural Fast Track Fund. Africa is one of the world's most fertile agricultural regions, yet in any given year we import some $25 billion in food. It's also true that while African women grow around 80% of Africa's food, they are not participating in the higher value end of agriculture, like food processing or growing higher value fruits and vegetables, because they often lack access to credit or to fertilizer, or modern tools, and even better seeds. The funds from the African Development Bank's Agricultural Fast Track help with these development costs. And to date, the fund is working in 6 countries, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia, Tanzania, and Mozambique. The Agricultural Fast Track Fund pays special attention to women in the programs that it selects. It makes gender impact a mandatory criteria. Gender impact could mean anything from making sure women get training on growing organic fruits and vegetables to ensuring that women receive jobs and expanded milk production. To learn more or get involved,
visit the Agricultural Fast Track Fund at www.aftfund.org. That's aftfund.org. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. Tune into the show next week when we speak to the Ambassador of the Kingdom of the Netherlands, Marissa Gerrits.